Our brother Jeff is a very busy man. He exhorting and playing the piano today, and I asked him if he wanted to preside as well, but he decided he would sooner let me do that. Anyhow, we have pleasure in calling upon him at this time to give us the necessary words of exhortation.
Good morning. Well, hopefully I didn't cause too much confusion with the reading there. Either mine is out of sync or yours is out of sync. I don't know who's out of sync, but hopefully we're all in sync now. Either way, the theme isn't going to change. It's about thanksgiving and being thankful. And it really kind of stems out of verse 20 of Ephesians 5. Excuse me. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always giving thanks for everything. I kind of thought about that verse, and it's pretty all-encompassing. It's a lot of thankfulness. And to be honest, a lot of the time, we don't feel thankful. There are times when we feel very thankful, but there are other times, I think, that we don't feel thankful. But we're told to give thanks always for everything. Not just for all the good things, but it seems even for our trials. And suggest a few things. This completely changes our outlook. And I think we'll see this in each of our readings, and hopefully I have the readings right today. In each of our readings for today, and I think we can find this theme of thankfulness in any passage in Scripture, really, if we're looking for it. In any part of Scripture, in any of the examples that we look at. And we'll see that this rings true in our own lives, and we'll see that we always have our hope in Christ to be profoundly thankful for. So thanks for everything at all times is tough, I think, as humans, but very, very rewarding for now and for eternal life. And really, if we're thankful people, we're considered happy people. People that are always giving thanks and not really complaining about, oh, I don't have this and I don't have that and this isn't the way I want it and it's, the weather's too hot or it's too cold or it's too wet or it's too dry. I mean, there's so many things that we can complain about. If we look for something to complain about, we will definitely find it. We can always find something to complain about. It's a little more challenging to find something to be thankful for. But I suggest equally, if we look for it, we will find it. In some aspect of everything we do, we can find something to be thankful for. At least, I think that's what this verse is asking us to do. Change our mindset to be thankful people. And even for the trials themselves. That's tricky, isn't it? None of us feels too thankful to be in a problematic situation, in pain. But James, chapter 1, seems to tell us that we are to be thankful. It talks about joy, right? You remember James 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So why are we, just think about this, how does this work with thankfulness? James is talking about joy. So thinking it through, why are we joyful in trial? Because James is telling us that. James is telling us to count it joy. Why are we joyful in trial? We're joyful because there's a purpose to the trial. If we can think about it, right? Often we're so caught up in the thing that we're in, whatever it is, that we don't think about other things. We only think about the thing that is eating away at us, that is the problem. It's completely natural. It's normal. We're being asked to try to think a little bit beyond that. There's a benefit to this trial. That's what James is saying. There's some kind of benefit. There is something, in other words, that we can be thankful for. Because if this trial hadn't happened, then we wouldn't have the benefit, right? So, without the trying of our faith, we won't work patience and we won't be perfect and entire. James goes on in the chapter, and I think actually in verse 12 in chapter 1, you could even substitute blessed for thankful. I'll read it to you. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Blessed is that one who perseveres under trial. Thankful, I would say as well. Thankful because they will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised, having stood the test. So this is why we count it all joy, because we're thankful for this blessing and this hope that brings us life. And I know sometimes it's hard to feel thankful. And when we come into Numbers 24, I'll just flip over there for a minute. When we come into Numbers 24, 25, and we're talking about Balaam and Balak and curses, it's hard to feel thankful. We have to make an effort to convince ourselves, to help ourselves see. So how do we help ourselves see the things that we should be thankful for in the moments that we're the least likely to feel thankful? And I think it's by ensuring that we practice looking for reasons to be thankful all the time. In the good times, and so that in the bad times, it's not so strange a concept to be looking for something to be thankful for. Because we do it all the time. Practice it. So even in Numbers 24, oops, I'm in Deuteronomy. I'll just go over the numbers. In Numbers 24, we have the context of this desired curse by Balak. And instead of this curse that Balak wants Balaam to declare against Israel and his enemies, comes hope and blessing. And we see this in verse 17 of chapter 24 of Numbers. Instead of a curse, this is what Balaam says. I see him now, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab and the skulls of all the sons of Sheth, or the forehead of Moab, and break down all the sons of Sheth. And this seems actually messianic, doesn't it? that there will be one. He beholds him. He's not here yet, but there will be a star out of Jacob. We could go to a number of different verses to highlight this. Someone hired to curse the nation, and from this comes hope and eternal blessing. Isn't that interesting? Was Balak even listening to what Balaam was saying? Well, maybe he was. He just heard the part about crushing the forehead of Moab and breaking down all the sons of Sheth. So that's the part he's concentrated on. Balaam couldn't say what Balak wanted him to, right? Even for all his riches, Balak's saying to him, well, here, I'll give you everything. Come to my house and all these riches can be yours. At least that's what he's implying. Whether he'd actually fall through with it, I don't know. We don't know. Just that it should have told him something, and that Balaam couldn't accept it. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do what Balak wanted him to do. All he could do was bless and hear, talk about the hope, an eternal hope, embedded in these blessings. And Balak doesn't really get this. Here the hope is not Moab, rather it's the very people Balak is looking to destroy. And it doesn't seem that Balak really gets the thankfulness feeling here. If anyone's not thankful, it's probably Balak. And Balaam, well, it's hard to say what his true motivations are. And I don't want to dwell on those two. I want to actually look instead, think about Israel. What's Israel doing? Often we talk a lot about Balaam and Balak, but Israel, they have so much reason to be thankful at this moment. God is showering them with blessing. They remain as his children. He's caring for them. He's provided an eternal hope. We've all heard about it. Balak heard about it. They should have already known about it. And this is our reason as well for being thankful. Hope in the star or the shoot or the branch that comes out of Jacob. This verse 17. That will crush the head of Moab or the head of sin and break Seth or all human desire in favor of God's will and his purpose. So unbeknownst to us, or to Israel in this case, or maybe they should have realized it, someone else is always on our side. Isn't that something to be thankful for? Our God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And the angels are at work to make our calling sure. And you know what? Even our own friends and family, some of them here, work good for us. They do good things that we never find out about, that we don't know about. And we may never know. We may not be able to immediately see these things, but they're there, and they're reasons for us to be thankful. So let's go over to Proverbs 17. There's even more reason for thankfulness. And you might not think about it at the outset. And I think that's kind of the point of going through this with a mindset of thankfulness. What can we be thankful for? Certainly in Proverbs, there are a lot of contrasts. And I'd like to take the one out of verse 7. Is it verse 17 of chapter 17? Let me see. Yes, verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And I could have picked another verse, but this one kind of jumped out at me. And you might think, this is what I thought. I thought, oh, I'll choose the friend because he loves at all times. So the brother, he's my adversary. That's kind of how I'd look if you just gloss over it. Brother's born for adversity. Well, if the brother's born for adversity, then I want to avoid that pain and suffering and trial. So you might choose the friend. Love is better, right? And I suggest to you that it's actually maybe even talking about the same person here, the friend and the brother. And that born for adversity isn't bad. And that my brother isn't my adversary in this verse. In fact, it makes sense, more sense, that it's a complementary part of a friend loveth. Because what is love, if not someone who's there in adversity? My brother and my friend, the same person. I think it's more likely that the brother is there for you, especially in the tough times. Especially in the tough times. In fact, to love at all times is difficult as well. When we think about thankfulness and we think about love at all times, in every circumstance, through the ups and the downs and the goods and the bads, we have much to be thankful for in our family, in our spiritual family. And if someone is there with us through it all, if we are there for others through it all, this is a huge comfort that we can be thankful for, and it lifts us up. It lifts us up. It changes our perspective. That's what we talked about at the beginning, right? Changing our perspective. The mindset of thankfulness. Come down to verse 22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. You might think, well, how true. But positivity is healing, and it can be contagious too. If we're just negative all the time, we tend to drag everyone down. But a heart of joy comes from contentment, this cheerful heart. And it's medicine, not just for me, for myself. I'm not thinking of me. I'm thinking about what it does for someone else. You're thinking about what it does for the person sitting beside you. Thankfulness comes from understanding and having faith in our vision, that branch out of Jacob, and our direction. And if we're content, well, we're not so busy complaining about things, are we? If we're content, we're thankful for what we have. And this joy can be shared. And so I'd suggest and let's come back to our reading in Ephesians, that thanksgiving heals us. Ephesians 5 and verse 4. It says, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. I thought, well, that's interesting. We have all of these things that we shouldn't do, and we're told, here's the thing to replace it with, thanksgiving. The antidote to human nature, thanksgiving. If we can be thankful, it's really hard to be foolish talk and crude joking, which are out of place. But we're not told to just stop doing these things. We're told to replace them. We're told to be thankful. And in fact, this replacement action is the powerful antidote. In other words, if we're busy looking to be thankful to God with each other, there's no room left for these thoughts and behaviors. We push them out. So I think that's why we're told to always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because it's through him that we have this hope of life. And if we remember him, it's not just his name, it's not a magical name. It's who he is and what he represents, right? And come back to verse 2 of chapter 5. And walk in love as Christ loved us. So if we still need reason to be thankful, it's highlighted for us every week when we gather. And here we're speaking of the love of Christ for us. 1 Chronicles 16:34, you don't have to go there. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And John 15:13 talks about what this meant for Jesus. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Remember, we talked about the friend and his love in Proverbs? That's what it's about. It's not just about the nice things. And he certainly had adversity. But he's with us in adversity. So are we friends of God? Will we do whatever he commands? Because we've been called, we've been chosen, and we've been offered this gift. 1 John 5:11 says, "And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life." And so, can we believe this? Yes. Yes, we can. The joy and thankfulness that we have should supersede everything when we hold this. When we hold this truth. So how did Jesus love us? He gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. There was no self. He didn't want to do it. He asked if this cup could be removed. And the answer was no. It couldn't. But there was something much better. An eternal joy. This also follows on in the sections on husbands and wives. And we might think, or we might be told, well, there's a lot of inequality here, talking about these roles of men and women. What if we're always thankful for our spouse, our family? It's quite the opposite. The love of Christ constrains us to care so deeply for one another that there's no room for, well, who's better? There's no room for that argument of rights. Because before God, our right is only the right of death. And yet, he's offered us the gift of eternal life. The last verse of chapter 6 of the letter says, "Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love." Or grace be with them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Sincerity. Truth. As children, as parents, all these examples were given, as servants, as masters, in all of these circumstances, in whatever trial we might be facing, regardless of our position or our role or our situation, we are children and servants in Christ. We are God's children, and that is hope, and that's thankfulness. And so the verse we began with in Ephesians 5:20, rings true, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have so much to be thankful for. And I've said this before, I think, from the simple pleasure of a warm sun on a summer day or the simple pleasure of a rainy day, because we need the rain too, to the great plan of salvation that is ours, that's mine, that's yours, that's anyone's who hears and listens and does. Here we put our lives back into perspective, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, marveling at this grace that's outstretched for each one of us. 2 Corinthians 4 puts it this way. Knowing that he that raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. We're not fainting along the way because we can recognize what it is that's so precious that we can be thankful for. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Thanks for everything and every circumstance to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even thanks for the trials themselves, because we know they work patience in us. They help us complete who we are before God so that our outlook has changed. I think we can see this in the readings from today. And that it's not just in these readings, we can find thankfulness everywhere in Scripture. And I hope we can see how looking for things to be thankful for in our own lives also changes us. Because we certainly do always, always, always have the hope in Christ to be profoundly thankful for. And I'd like to finish with the words of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was one who could certainly have complained in chapter 33. And who could certainly have been very mournful all the time. And yet in chapter 33 in verse 11, we read this. The sounds of joy and gladness. The voices of the bride and the bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever.